You're listening to Episode 6 of the 360 Vegas Podcast. Visit our blog at 360vegaspodcast.com or send us an email at 360vegaspodcast@gmail.com.
Day after tomorrow, gentlemen, we'll be in Las Vegas.
Welcome to Vegas.
Las Vegas functions on a 24-hour-a-day schedule.
The casino.
Big volcano out in front.
That's the Eiffel Tower.
Bellagio. Riviera.
The Mirage.
Flamingo. Sahara.
The MGM Grand.
This isn't the real Caesar's Palace, is it?
I want to gamble.
They always put the machines that pay off the most right in the front.
Good luck.
The Strip is just the most amazing stretch of road, I think, probably anywhere in the world.
Kicking ass in Vegas.
Vegas, baby.
Vegas, baby.
Welcome to Las Vegas.
Good morning, sir.
How are you?
I am doing quite well. I am incredibly enthusiastic about this show. We've got an awesome, awesome show. It's been a fantastic week. And I wanted to start it off by congratulating at Lord's Knight and Posse P on their recent nuptials in Vegas last week. Now, they came all the way from Exeter, Devon in the UK. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that, but
pretty sure it's Exeter.
Exeter? Sure.
I could be wrong too, but
I'm pretty sure of the two of us, pronunciation is more your strength. Anyways, they came all the way from the UK. It was their first trip to Vegas, and they got married at the Viva Las Vegas Wedding Chapel. It wasn't one of those impromptu weddings. They had planned it. Said they had a great time. We share something in common in our affinity for the triple-digit heat in Las Vegas, and just wanted to congratulate them on the show. They had a twit pic that caught my eye, and that's how the conversation started. But congratulations to the both of you, and many happy returns.
Yeah, congratulations, guys. That's awesome. Random Vegas time, sir.
Yeah, Trist has, or they're testing, a new 3D projection mapping feature on their waterfall. You can check out the video on YouTube. It's kind of a sneak peek at it. They didn't clarify whether this is something they're just trying out or if it's, you know, something new, but it's very similar to the video that we saw of the 3D projection wraps on the Tropicana. It's really, really cool. I hope they keep this entertaining to say the least.
I really enjoyed the projection wraps on the Tropicana, and you know, I'm not a huge fan of wraps,
right,
but I like it when they can project stuff up on there at night and they can change it periodically.
All right.
At least much easier than they would be able to a physical wrap.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think it allows the beauty to maintain its integrity during the day. It doesn't look like a massive billboard, and yet you still get the benefits of having a wrap just in a far more clever and entertaining way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, how about the twit pick of the week this week? I really like this one.
Yeah, this one was awesome. We had a fantastic week. So many people had phenomenal pictures of Vegas. Made it so hard to decide, which is, as we've said before, a fantastic problem to have. But this week's twit pick of the week winner came to us from George_Adams. It is an amazing picture of the Palms Fantasy Tower with a stunningly beautiful blue sky with sparsely populated white clouds behind it. I mean, it is an absolutely fantastic picture.
I thought it was professional.
You know what? For a moment, I actually questioned whether it was real. I thought perhaps it was Photoshop, but if it is, it's fantastic. If it isn't, even better.
Mm-hmm. Now, he provided you with a bit of a trip report too, didn't he?
Oh, this man has contributed so much to the show this week. First off, we're gonna post it on our blog. It will be added to our Flickr page, and it's also featured on the enhanced version of our podcast.
As always.
Yeah, and it usually becomes the wallpaper on my iPhone or laptop too. Not nearly as glamorous, but thought I would share that regardless. So, yeah, he's given us a ton of content this week. He also shared with us a brief review of a new topless show, Viper Vixens. We reported on this a little while ago. It's a new show at O'Shea's, and he informed us that of the six topless shows that he's seen in Vegas, Viper Vixens is his favorite. And he's also agreed, coming soon, to write us a full review on the Viper Vixens, and we'll share that with you on the podcast in the future once we get that from him.
Yeah, we'll be sure to get that up on the blog as well.
Yeah, and lastly, he shared with us possibly the coolest tweet that I've ever seen. He gave us a breakdown of his gambling for the entire trip. And here it is. He lost $364 on blackjack, won $230 at craps, won $553 at video poker, and won $65 at slots for a total win of $484 during this trip.
Hey, that's not too shabby.
Yeah, you have to share this with me someday, please, George, because I don't understand how you can do this and drink. Because I'm sure I could keep up with this for a while, but there's always a point in every night in Las Vegas where I tend to...
blackout.
Yeah. Thank you, Brian. I couldn't have thought of a better way to describe that, but yes.
That's via experience.
Yeah.
Yes. Firsthand with Mark.
Absolutely. But seriously, George, if you've got a trick as to how you do that, it's fascinating. I would love to do it for myself and share it with the listeners on the show. So just thanks so much, George, for the picture, for the information. Looking forward to that review. You've contributed so much, and we look forward to more in the future.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate that. And we look forward to hearing from more of you from various trip reports, pictures. Continue to send those twit pics to us. We love to get them, as many of them as we can get.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, welcome again to Episode 6. My name is Brian. With me is the co-host of the show, Mark. We've got a huge, huge show this week, so let's just jump right into our new segment.
Sounds good.
So, okay, a lot of things going on in Vegas this week. We've gotten a lot of interesting information, and we're going to start with the issues with the Harmon Building.
Okay.
Now, tell me a little bit more about some of the research you've done here.
Let me give you a brief history on the Harmon Building. The Harmon was intended to be a 47-story luxury hotel and condo tower that was going to be part of the whole city center project.
Right, right.
Now it was designed by famous architect Lord Norman Foster. If you're unfamiliar with him, he's famous for some sick buildings around the world, including the Hearst Tower in New York City, Wembley Stadium and the Gherkin in London, and he has also been awarded the contract for one of the replacement buildings at the World Trade Center.
And I've seen that design, and that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that is really just I can't reiterate how much of an overview it is of this person's body of work. I mean, it's fantastic. Just wiki this guy. I mean, it's phenomenal, the stuff that he and his company do. So, back to the Harmon. Now, in a bad economy and an evaporating condo market in Las Vegas, MGM decided to scale back the Harmon in size and in scope to 27 stories, which was going to equate to 400 hotel rooms and no condos. Now, during construction in 2008, it was discovered by county inspectors that the building had structural defects and the project was mothballed. Only the exterior was completed, enough to appear complete, very similar to what Caesars did with the Octavius Tower.
Right, right.
And of course, litigation ensued. When MGM claimed the builder Perini and poor construction was the reason to blame for the building not being completed, while Perini counterclaimed that it was a design flaw, they didn't make any error here. Per Clark County requests, MGM, as a part of this litigation here, requested that MGM contract a third-party structural engineer to review the Harmon and determine if it was structurally sound. Because, of course, in litigation, MGM hired a person, Perini hired a person, and their reports were conflicting. So they were looking for some more information. And what they found out, according to this third party, is that the building is not structurally sound. MGM informed Clark County that the inspector revealed that the building could collapse in a strong earthquake and asked, what should they do? Now, Clark County got back to them on Wednesday and told MGM that they must make a decision on what they're going to do with that building. They either need to make it structurally sound or they have to take it down. And they needed to have those plans by August 15th. They specifically pointed out concerns, the damage that would happen to the Crystals and the Crystals Mall at City Center and the pedestrian walkway. Now, MGM has agreed to comply and are working now to determine which course of action they will take. The core of the issue seems to be the value of the Harmon. Now, Perini, the builder, suggests that the Harmon is worth more to MGM dead than alive, because that would mean that not only do they have to pay Perini for building what they've already built so far, but then they'd have to sink more money into finishing it and adding an additional 400 rooms to a project that's already having trouble filling the plethora of rooms that they have. Now, City Center cost $8.5 billion to build. And it almost bankrupted the company because it was self-financed by MGM with a partnership in Dubai World. And in fact, the reason MGM sold TI to Phil Ruffin is because they were strapped for cash hardcore. What do you think of this whole story, Brian? Back and forth between Perini and MGM, a building as part of a project that is mothballed and designed by arguably one of the greatest architects that we have seen in our time. I mean, one of, but still.
You know, as reputable as he is and some of the phenomenal work that he's done so far, he's not perfect. It could very well be a design flaw. Now, I'm not, obviously, just as yourself, neither of us are, you know, we're not fit to really assess, you know, whether or not the building is, in fact, structurally sound or not. That's what they're, you know, those experts are there for. But I don't know. They've already put so much money into it. I can't see them knocking it down, honestly. I mean, I think they're going to have to finish it out or finish it to a point where it's, inhibitable, you know, yeah. where they can fill it somehow and then sell it off.
Right.
I'm not really sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure how they would go about that. And Perini has said that they believe they can fix it and are willing to fix it. But, you know, we're in litigation now. Here's my opinion of the whole thing, and I'd like to reiterate to the Perini lawyers and the MGM lawyers that I have no factual basis to this. It's just my gut feeling. It is my opinion, lawyers, opinion. Like most disagreements, I think there's a little bit of truth in each of these. I think MGM was looking for any way to save money in the midst of one of the worst economic climates since the Great Depression. They had too many rooms that were coming online, having trouble selling those condos. Already scaled the project back, realizing they weren't going, you know, that they were already having problems and it was going to be even harder to do this. I think Perini may have made a mistake during the construction. It's possible. I mean, there's a lot of people with their eyes on blueprints. Blueprints change all the time. So my gut feeling is that Perini made a mistake during construction. It was caught by the inspectors and Perini, you know, okay, all right, so we made a mistake, but we can fix this. It's no big deal. And my gut tells me that MGM saw this as a ray of light. Like, wait a minute. This is perfect. We're not going to be able to fill 400 more rooms anyways. Why don't we just... Here's what we're going to say. Oh, nope, we can't use this at all. It's damaged. Oh, no. Beyond repair. No, it's worthless. No, we're not paying for this. We're not bringing it online. This is your fault. That's my gut feeling. I mean, when you consider how many rooms the entire City Center project has... And the idea that they had already cut this building down by 20 stories because, and removed the condos because they couldn't sell them. That's my gut feeling, is that there was a little bit of error on both sides. And I don't know. I don't know how it's going to play out. I don't think that property or Las Vegas in general needs another 400 rooms. So I don't know what you would do with that building properly anyways, but I don't know. Do you think it's going to be misbalanced if they have to take it down? Or, you know, I mean, is it... I'm so interested.
I don't know how they're going to be able to take it down. I mean, you know, with the surrounding structures and everything, you know, with what's currently in place around it,
right.
I mean, that's going to be kind of tricky, I would think.
Well, I mean, they've gotten pretty good at implosions in Vegas. I mean, there's a lot of properties next to each other. But yeah.
Yeah, they certainly have. But yeah, I guess maybe just my ignorance to in demolition.
Right. Well,
is, yeah. You know, kind of creates a little bit of a barrier for me there to, you know, kind of a difficult time understanding how they would be able to do that. But, I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll find out on August 15th, right?
Yeah. We'll definitely forward on any new information that we receive regarding this story.
All right. Staying on City Center, a little bit more bad news. And this one kind of took me by surprise.
Yeah.
Was the bacteria at the Aria.
Yes. Aria discovered from the Nevada Health District that they had elevated levels of the Legionella bacteria in several of the guest rooms. Vegas Tripping broke the story, and Aria confirmed it a day later with a letter that they sent to all guests who had stayed at the property between June 21st and July 4th, informing them of this discovery and some information about Legionnaire's disease, which is what is the result of the Legionella bacteria, as well as the most up-to-date information they had regarding the situation. Now, health officials notified Aria that a few cases of Legionnaire's disease has been reported involving guests who had visited the property during that time period. And in all cases that were diagnosed, they were treated and have fully recovered from the bacteria's effects. a little background on Legionnaires' disease. It's an advanced form of pneumonia that can be fatal to some with weakened immune systems like the elderly or those drinking or smoking in excess, which was
exactly what happened to you.
Exactly. So pretty much everyone in Vegas is in trouble.
Right.
Legionella is a common naturally occurring bacteria that exists in most water supplies. Most people are exposed to it at low level amounts and don't ever suffer any, you know, sick effects. The illness isn't contagious. You can't catch it from somebody. It's contracted via mist or a vapor that's inhaled. So you think of like a hot shower or some kind of a water feature. The symptoms tend to show up 2 to 14 days after exposure, and most cases are successfully treated with antibiotics. Legionella is a concern for all large buildings because of the large plumbing and air conditioning systems that the properties use. Upon further investigation into this story that Vegas Tripping broke, it was discovered that the property had similar high levels as far back as December of 2009 when the property opened.
Which, that kind of perplexes me. If they knew all this time, why didn't they disclose it? I mean, I get why. Let's take a step back here. Obviously, they wouldn't just volunteer that information. Why would they want to drive people away?
Well, here's actually why. The issue wasn't addressed at the time because the tests were unable to be replicated. When they had followed up with the initial discovery that it had high levels, when they did a retest, the results didn't happen again. So that's why they didn't share it at that time. The Nevada Health Department has credited ARIA with doing everything that they've recommended since the discovery's been made. Various media outlets have reported the situation as if it were an outbreak of black plague-like proportions.
As always.
Yeah. The news has had little to no effect on Wall Street. After receiving the news during trading, the stock closed down 14 cents, and analysts didn't see anything unusual with the stock. Now, analysts admit that while this isn't good news at all, the occurrences like this are no longer considered rare. As a matter of fact, outbreaks of this sort are pretty common on cruise ships. ARIA has set up a place on their site with details about Legionnaires' disease to help calm the hysterics of some people who have stayed and who have plans to stay. They've also been incredibly vigilant on various social media with people who express concern or share complaints regarding the situation. Here's an interesting thing that I thought could be the cause of this. And once again, I could just be talking out of my ass. I wonder if this has anything to do with the Green Initiative or materials, because City Center has been praised for being the first green resort in Las Vegas, the first green project. But as with all new technology and developments when it comes to building, you don't tend to find out all of the pros and cons of said materials until much, much further down the road. It's not like when people built buildings 100 years ago that they knew the materials they were using would cause asbestos and you know, whatever other horrific things that we've now learned cause cancer and will kill you. I wonder if this isn't the first major, huge scale of a Green Initiative building, and this could be a side effect, is high levels of the Legionella bacteria. What do you think?
It's an interesting thought. Most of the time, Green Initiatives and materials like that are all recycled. You know, I don't really know enough about it to really put together an educated or a reasonable explanation. But, you know, as you mentioned before, this is a common occurrence on cruises.
Right.
You know, I think it just, you know, it depends on the conditions. I'm not necessarily sure if it, you know, relates directly to the materials used. I think if the conditions are right, the bacteria will form and then it spreads as it does. But
right.
It's an interesting thought.
Yeah, and like I said, I've got absolutely no information to back up this thought. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. Yeah, more City Center bad news with Terry Lanney dying too.
Yeah, Terry Lanney died at age 68 after a 2-year battle with cancer. He was the CEO of MGM during the two largest corporate takeovers in Las Vegas history. He was there during Steve Wynn's Mirage Resorts takeover in 2001, as well as the Mandalay Resort Group in 2005. He was also considered the project mastermind of City Center with the current CEO, Jim Murin. He retired in 2008 after the economy collapsed and City Center seemed like an idea that may take the company into bankruptcy instead of into the greatest idea ever conceived in Las Vegas.
That's really the best time to retire.
Yeah, I know, really, really. Well, and ironically, he was brought out of retirement to help make the transition during the acquisition of Mirage Resorts, because a lot of people didn't think that Mirage could properly run these resorts. You know, Steve Wynn was way ahead of the curve with Mirage Resorts. It was considered to be the best-run resorts in all of Las Vegas, and the idea that MGM was going to kind of come in and take them over, there were a lot of people that were concerned about it, which is why they brought in an experienced CEO like Terry. And Terry really made the effort to allow the Mirage family to feel reassured that this was a partnership, that MGM wasn't coming in and taking them over and showing them how to do things properly, but this was a unique opportunity for the company to come in, purchase a incredibly valuable asset to add to their portfolio, but made a concerted effort to reassure staff and management there that, you know, this is just an awesome partnering. When he retired, there was also some questions about his non-existent MBA from USC. Just this morning, I read a phenomenal article about Terry Lanney on Jeff Simpson's Two-Way Hard 3 blog. I'm going to add that link to the show notes on the blog. Phenomenal. It's really good. It's a really good insight into the kind of the person that Terry was. I mean, not just the kind of integrity that we just spoke about with Mirage, but he, very Kennedy-like, realized at one point that he wasn't hiring the proper amount of minorities. I think it was contractors, but regardless, minorities. And while initially claiming that that was incorrect, when he did some homework, he found out that the reporter who reported this was correct, that they were not hiring the appropriate amount of minorities. And he then publicly admitted he was wrong, apologized, and kind of developed the best in the Las Vegas market as far as hiring minorities, and was very proud of that fact and shared all of those details. I mean, he was very anti-Wynn in the sense that Wynn is very out there. His personality is very enigmatic, and Terry Lanney is kind of the quiet, strong leader type. And that is unfortunately what MGM lost a few years ago and what we have now lost. So, send out our regards to the family. Terry Lanney's, of course, at some point in the show, we will end up doing a feature regarding his impact on the Las Vegas market.
Right, right.
I do have some actual good information because I don't, you know, there's just so much going wrong at City Center, and I don't like being that guy that, oh, they're doing this wrong and they're doing that wrong. So before actually all of this happened, or in the middle of it, I read an article regarding Viva Elvis, the Cirque show at City Center, Aria specifically, that really kind of changed my opinion of what I thought that show was going to be. Viva Elvis is not Cirque, according to the article on About.com that we'll link in the show notes. The interpretation and expectation of what that word or that brand, Cirque, means to people may be the primary reason that the show has gotten mixed reviews since the day it opened. It doesn't have the typical Cirque elements people come to expect when they go to a Cirque show. Viva Elvis is more of a production show, and according to the writer of this article, it's a top-notch caliber one. Like production shows Vegas was famed for 20 years ago. It's about the life of Elvis told through his music, as, you know, you can best do in a 90-minute show. But you really need to go into this and consider it to be more theater. I mean, it's performance art. I mean, it's Vegas-style entertainment. But if you want to go see a Cirque show, you need to check out one of the other offerings on the Las Vegas Strip, because that's not what this is. Now, this article is fantastic. So good that Karen and I have been talking about seeing Viva Elvis ever since it came out. And these reviews, these mixed reviews, were the reason we stayed away. And this trip, we actually had plans to go because they've got some great social media deals out there. And I just kept stopping. I kept wavering, like, I don't know if I really want to go see this. After reading this article, immediately bought our tickets. We're going.
I don't know anything about this show, Mark, so I don't really have anything value to put into it. So
right, but I mean, you are familiar with the Cirque brand.
Oh yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And, well, I mean, I've seen Mystere, I've seen O. Yeah.
Right, right, and I've never been much of a Cirque fan. I don't. I mean, well, the stuff that those people do is very impressive, and it's very, you know, they're very talented people. I don't need to see someone fold themselves in half. I don't need to see some of the things that they do. I find the makeup creepy. I find a lot of the storylines confusing and boring, but that's just me. Now, I've gone to the Beatles Love Cirque show, and I love it. I've seen that show 4 or 5 times, but I would have never seen it had it not been about Beatles music, which is right. Where I thought I might find Elvis interesting. I'm not a huge Elvis fan, but I mean, I appreciate him, and I thought it would be very interesting there, but if it's going to be very Cirque heavy, I would have lost interest in it, because at least with the Beatles, I love the music. If the show, you know, if I hated the show, I could at least enjoy the music and then get out of there. But with this, it's I'm very impressed. I'm very interested with it. I mean, it's, look, my wife loves Cirque. I know many people love Cirque, but it, you know, look, it's not for everybody. And when you hear conflicting reports about a show like this, you know, I was apprehensive, and now I kind of have a better understanding that when people go to a Cirque show, they expect to see certain things, and that's not what Viva Elvis is going to offer you. It's if anything, it shows the diversity of Cirque, that they can do their standard, you know, shows that they're famous for, and they can do something like this. So, of course, we're going to do a review of the show once we're done seeing it in Vegas in August, and we'll be sure to share that with all of you. But
definitely
tried to cap that off with a little bit of good news for City Center. I really hope that they figure out what's going on and get a strong foothold and just pull through this. I mean,
I think it's just a set of, you know, unfortunate circumstances. You know, a lot of things coming out at once that, you know, obviously aren't good things.
Right.
And I think the timing is just bad. But I mean, it, you know,
yeah.
I don't think it's going to be a continuing trend.
Right. I agree. I think it's just a week of bad news, and hopefully we put it all behind us and we start figuring out ways to fix what we recently discovered was wrong.
Right. Right. So, and one last piece about MGM. Well, MGM Resort actually is going to be hosting gay nights in Las Vegas.
Yes. August 4th. Through 7th, MGM Resort's properties are celebrating all things fabulous in their Gayapalooza extravaganza. There are room deals available at the properties, including VIP access to various, you know, festivities, pool parties, Cirque shows, exclusive events. So yeah, if you're interested, August 4th through the 7th, there are details and a schedule of events on their website, gaynights.com.
Check that out.
Yep.
So, staying on this uptick, Vegas is doing pretty well, and we've seen some recent figures that kind of indicate that.
Yeah, really, really encouraging news. The May numbers show that Vegas is reporting the best numbers they've seen since 2008, just before the economy collapsed, and only 5% less than May of 2007, when tourism peaked in the Nevada market. The casinos reported $580 million in profits for May, or in revenue for May, a 29% increase from last year. Every game is showing gains. Is Vegas turning the corner, Brian?
I think they are. I mean, I think they got to be at this point. I mean, the economy is pulling itself out of the shit it's been in,
right,
for the past several years, and it's about time. And I definitely think it's turning a corner. I think people are coming around and showing in Vegas.
I agree. I'm very excited about this. Congratulations, Vegas. Let's keep it going. And don't start fucking people over, all right? Like, let's continue to offer the deals.
Let's not jump the gun.
That's right.
On your newfound financial success, your renewed financial success.
That's right.
On that same note, New York is actually, they've released some plans showing some room renovations that are going to be coming up in the near future.
Yeah, disappointing that it's in the near future, because you're going to get to enjoy their property. You know what? Maybe this is good news, because now you'll get a chance to take a look at it before renovations. Then maybe we can take a look at it after. It'd be good.
That's right, because I'm going to be staying there next month.
There you go.
Right.
Now, Vegas Tripping announced the news and informed us that New York will be liquidating all their old furnishings, and they're planning to replace those in some 500 rooms. Now, CA Global Partners has been contracted to handle this task for them, and it doesn't appear that they're going to be holding an open-to-the-public auction, because, first of all, there was no catalog for us to review.
Right. Who's going to want any of that shit anyway?
I know, right?
Let's be honest.
But, you know, more good news. When companies start putting money into their properties, it's good news for Vegas just in general.
Right, right. Recently, the Palazzo was also named one of the top 25 hotels in the entire continent of North America for 2011.
The list belongs to Travel and Leisure magazine, and it's voted on by the readers of the magazine. Mm-hmm. Now, the readers rate the properties on five categories: the rooms, facilities, location, service, restaurants / food, and the value, the overall value. This is the second time in a row that Palazzo has made the list. Now, the only question I had on this is, how did they even get on this list? Because, I mean, not saying that Palazzo isn't a fantastic resort.
It's a beautiful resort.
Yeah, I really like it. But what surprised me is it's the only one. And you would think that, you know, I don't know, one of Wynn's properties might be mentioned, or Cosmopolitan, or something. I found it interesting as to what initially got them on the ballot to have voters vote for them. But regardless, I mean, congratulations, Palazzo. 2 years in a row, top 25 hotel in North America.
Yeah, and you know what? They're getting themselves into the good graces of the players and the vacationers to Vegas, because they kind of came back and said that they're going to start giving out some comps, and we kind of mentioned that in last week's show.
Yeah, righting a wrong.
Yep, pulling their heads out of their asses.
Yeah, and
that's what I like to call that.
Right, and apparently they need to right another wrong, Brian.
Yeah, because now Lamborghini is suing them.
Yeah, so Lamborghini is claiming that the Del Toro restaurant and the exotic car showroom and merchandise gallery are infringing on Lamborghini's trademark. The exotic car maker claimed that the three businesses are using the trademarked Bull and Shield logo. And Del Toro, when questioned, said that they were unaware of the lawsuit. But as somebody who's been to actually all of these establishments, I thought Lamborghini owned them, Brian.
Was that how closely the logo resembled it?
Yes, I actually thought that Lamborghini opened the exotic, you know, showroom. They said, hey, we're also going to have a restaurant by this. And they're not identical, but I honestly thought it was a second brand, you know, that Lamborghini had. So I think Lamborghini's on to something. Sorry, Palazzo, but that coming from somebody who's a huge Lamborghini fan and honestly, in my experiences, thought that it was a partnership with Lamborghini. So, yeah, good luck on that.
So, Mark, a while ago you were telling me about an experience that people visiting Vegas can have where you can pay to play with heavy machinery and dig up dirt and rocks and shit in a giant sandbox.
Yes, and now CBS has also done a piece on their show, the CBS Early Show, regarding this. It's called Dig This Las Vegas. We spoke about this a little while ago. And
yeah, I think when we were in beta in the show, we were discussing.
Oh, that's right. Okay, well then, Dig This is... Actually, I can't describe it any better than Brian just did. You have the opportunity to operate heavy machinery in a giant fucking sandbox. It's not very far from the Strip. You can actually see TI in the background of the piece that we're going to link to. Costs about $400 for 3 hours of driving excavators and tractors. I don't know. I mean, imagine when you were a little kid, you had all of your Tonka toys, and you now have the ability to shrink it down to be able to actually fit in those, because that's really what this is. You get to dig up earth. You get to drive dozers and, you know, through an obstacle course.
Yeah, that doesn't sound fun to me.
You know what? It does a little
especially
bit
to me. Especially for $400.
Okay, absolutely agree with you on the $400 thing. $400 for 3 hours. But I get it now, and if you watch this piece on YouTube, you've got to be 14 years or older to do it.
That terrifies me.
I know, really? Can you imagine a 15-year-old... messing around on this stuff? But then again, is it any more terrifying than an adult who's been in Las Vegas liquored up, who just spent $400, you know, to drive an excavator around for 3 hours?
Don't get me wrong, Mark. I get the concept. I totally understand it. And I know a lot of people are really going to enjoy this. And I'm sure it's going to get a lot of exposure, some traffic. But for me personally, I don't know. I just, first of all, I don't find anything fun in just digging up dirt. I mean, I'm from Chicago. I grew up in a city. At no point in my life was I ever infatuated with tractors or anything like that.
Right.
you know, so you know, I get it. I understand it's going to have an audience of some kind. There's going to be some group of individuals that are going to find a lot of amusement in this, but it's not for me.
Well, it's each their own.
Especially not for $400.
It's each their own. It's Las Vegas. So for those of you who find that kind of experience interesting, we have a link to their website as well as the YouTube piece. Check it out.
Yep, definitely. So the new plaza is going to be opening a new swingers club.
Yes, and not like you're thinking. It's a brand new concept in partnership with Anthony Cools, the well-known Las Vegas headliner and hypnotist. The club will fuse a Vegas-themed mini golf course with dueling pianos.
That's such an interesting concept.
I know, isn't it?
I like both of those things, though.
Yeah, the way that they're planning on setting this up is the centerpiece is clearly the mini golf, and on the sides you'll have the dueling pianos. It's going to offer live music playing from 7 to 9 p.m. The dueling pianos come on from 9 p.m. till 2 p.m. And if you can stay up late enough, a DJ will spin music for the glow-in-the-dark disco golf from 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. The lounge is open, as you can imagine, 11 a.m. to 4 a.m., seven nights a week. You've got to be 21 to enter because it is, of course, a bar. The club is expected to debut at the property's soft opening August 24th, with grand opening festivities planned for the September 1st grand opening. So,
still hoping for the extra soft opening for when I'm going to be there. If we have anybody from the plaza, from our social media group
right.
listening, an extra soft, squishy opening right. for me would be awesome. I would love to come by and check all these things out. So
yeah, I'm keeping my fingers crossed for you. And if not, I do have plans to spend some time down there and give us get a full report as best I can to share all the new developments at the new plaza.
Yeah. So plaza, do that.
Yes, please
do that. In less interesting plaza news, exposed hair salon.
Yeah.
Which I mean, this is news. Obviously, you know, it's our job to at least mention it, but overpriced haircuts. Tell me more.
Yeah, one thing that I won't be doing.
Please tell me more about how I can spend an unreasonable amount of money on a haircut.
Right. This, I can promise you, I won't be doing for multiple reasons. For one...
I'm laughing because I already know where you're going.
Right. For one, I shave my head bald, so there's no reason for me to patronize this.
There's no hair to cut.
Right, and for two, I don't really see the appeal of this, but some people may, so we're going to share it with you.
How much?
$50 for a haircut, but Brian, they're going to offer you something that you can't get anywhere else. Your hairstylist will come out in anything from a bikini at worst to lingerie at best.
There's the plus.
Yes.
This isn't for me because I'm married.
Right. Well, yeah, ditto. But, you know, we're not dead, Brian.
No, but I don't want to be.
Right. Well played, sir. This is another partnership with Anthony Cools. So a real out-of-the-box thinker here, Brian.
He sure is.
Yeah. Not only do the men have the opportunity to enjoy such an overpriced haircut, but they have their own area of the exposed hair salon, which, by the way, will be right next door to the Swingers Club. You're able purchase cocktails from the Swingers Club lounge while you're waiting to get your $50 haircut. Mm-hmm. But women have the opportunity to go through a completely separate door and get their hair done by fully clothed stylists.
This is so bizarre.
Yeah, now, I don't know if it's because perhaps there aren't that many stylists out there who have the figure to pull off being half naked and cut your hair, or if it's a sanitary thing, or if women just don't care to have a dude schlong in their face while they're cutting their hair. But my first reaction to this was, I'm like, what the fuck? That's not, I mean, guys get the half naked women, the girls don't get this in return. And I don't know, Brian, what do you think of this? It seems a little unfair, and yet I have to believe that women would rather have their hair done by a professional than the stupid things that men would do for $50 and get their hair fucked up.
I have to agree with you. I'm sort of indifferent about the whole thing, Mark.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, whatever.
Yeah. I don't mean to critique the idea. It's just not for me. I find it amusing. So for those who appeal to this, hey, here's another offering for you at the new plaza. Diverse.
I can totally see guys going to pay to get their hair cut by a chick in a bikini or in lingerie. I mean, You go to a strip club. I mean, this is obviously not the same thing, but you're at least getting something tangible out of it in the end.
Right. Well, I was going to make that exact analogy. There are also men out there who go to strip clubs and spend
hundreds, if not thousands of dollars
on women that they have no chance of getting into bed at all.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm sure this appeals to some people. And like we said, we're not these aren't strippers cutting your hair. It's just,
it's tasteful.
Yeah, it is. It's just a very unique concept. And it's yet another offering coming to you from Anthony Cools and the New Plaza.
Yep. So very cool. That's closing off our little news piece on the Plaza. Tell me a little bit more about retro slots on Fremont Street.
This is a really, really cool idea.
I agree. I was kind of taking a look at some of the details, and I was very interested.
Yeah. On Fremont Street, a place that lives in the past, but in a good way. In a good way.
Yeah, it's like a living museum for
Vegas. It is. It really is. They're now offering their guests the option of playing coin slot machines, but with a new twist. The jackpots are now paid out in limited edition 0.999 pure silver tokens in plastic protective holders. Now, these machines are very similar to the old coin-in machines, you know, not the paper-in or ticket-in, ticket-out machines now.
Mm-hmm, right.
They've kind of been around for a while. They just seem to be making their way into popularity. Now, the tokens were first introduced in Reno in 1992 by International Game Tech and began distributing the games in 2004. Now, that company no longer makes these machines, and the Four Queens on Fremont Street and Samstown, a locals casino in Las Vegas, have the only models left. But we're going to focus on Four Queens because I care. the Silver Strike machine awards custom coins designed by a property for a special event. The coins have different values, and they can be kept, they can be cashed in for paper money, or you can actually trade them in for higher value coins. Now, Four Queens currently has a 6-ounce silver-centered coin valued at $300 that can be acquired for 30 of the $10 slot tokens that you would win. The coin designer said most of the coins available have the Four Queens logo and either a Joker or the Las Vegas sign on it, but each coin has a limited 150 coin run. One goes to the state, one goes to the hotel, keeps one for their collection, and then the remaining 148 are divided up between the five machines, that Four Queens has. This concept has become so popular, the Four Queens has reported lines stretching from the casino cage to the front of the property. Collectible Jeez. Coins at a slot machine, Brian.
I did that a long time ago Vegas, and a lot of different properties were featuring machines where you could win these coins. I have a couple of them.
Do you really?
I do. Yeah, I do have a couple. I don't remember where they're from because they're, they're kind of in storage now. I haven't seen them in a while, but I know that my grandfather collects these, and he's got one from every property that featured a machine that would offer a coin as a for a winning spin.
Well, wait a minute. Are you just talking about the coins that?
I'm not sure if they. I mean, it's the same kind of concept. I'm not sure if it's made of the same 0.999 pure silver.
Oh, that's a good point. Because I know the old coin in machines, you would go and you would buy tokens to play the machines at, and I know that those were all unique. I wonder if this isn't kind of a take on that. It sounds very similar.
It's very similar. And like I said, pardon me, anybody listening who's familiar with these, and if I'm misspeaking here, but. I know that my grandfather is a big coin collector as it is, and he's a huge Vegas fan. He was going for, eight to 10 times a year for a while. And, he was an avid collector of these coins for a while. So it could be a different collectible coin
right.
that I'm talking about, but it sounds a lot like what we're, what Four Queens and Sam's Club is doing.
Yeah, that's really awesome. I mean, and as you know, I am a collector of various Vegas things. I mean, for instance, I have a dollar chip at every Vegas property that I visited. I've got shot glasses from every place I've ever stayed. So this concept is right up my alley.
I think I have a coin from Mandalay Bay and maybe the Monte Carlo.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'll have to take a look at those. I'll have to see if I can find those and let you know. But because, like I said, I apologize if I'm misspeaking and I'm talking about one thing and this is another. But I'm going off of memory here, but I'll try to touch base with my grandfather too to see if he has any input on it. Because, like I said, I mean, he's been going to Vegas since the 80s and has been doing so on a very regular and frequent basis. So he may have a little bit more insight for us too.
Yeah, that's really awesome. That's really awesome.
Yeah, so very cool. That's going to wrap up our news segment. A lot of interesting information, some good, some bad, but yeah. You know, got to take them both as they come. So, yeah, let's move on to playing Vegas. Playing Vegas, of course, the segment of our show where we discuss performances and events that are going to be coming up in the very near future, like within the next week.
Yeah, this is a unique opportunity for you to go to Las Vegas, and instead of seeing, you know, the plethora of awesome experiences they have available for you that are residencies, these are bands that are touring that are going to be in Las Vegas while possibly you're there if you're going this week. So it gives you the opportunity to see a live band or live attraction in a very unique, intimate setting that only Las Vegas can provide for you.
Absolutely. And kicking off this week on Monday is Cosmopolitan's Dive-In movie at the Boulevard Pool. This week it'll be Tin Cup. The doors for that will open at 7 p.m. Admission, of course, is free. And then there's snacks and drinks available for purchase. And we'll provide a link on the blog for you to RSVP.
Yeah, apparently the open to the public has been so incredibly popular that it's been necessary to implement an RSVP.
Oh, I had no doubt that was coming.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, such a good idea.
I agree. I'm actually hoping that they have one while we're there so we can partake in it.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know if I would sit for an entire movie since my limited time there. But,
oh, of course, yeah.
Right. Definitely want to go check it out for sure. Yeah.
On Thursday, Bonfire, an AC/DC tribute band, is playing at House of Blues at Mandalay Bay. Their show is going to start at 6:30, and tickets run $13.
You know, I would be interested to hear from any listeners who actually have seen any of the tribute bands or, you know, cover bands.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I would be very interested because, you know, the ticket prices, we go over these every week, and we have been for a while, and the prices are so reasonable. And if it's a worthwhile show, you know, I would be interested to know about it.
Now, believe me, as I'm doing show research, I am always hawkeyeing the week that we're going to be there, hoping that there's a really good tribute band while we're in Vegas.
Yeah, right. Friday, Russell Brand will be at Mandalay Bay. His show is going to start at 7:30, and tickets for that will range from $65 to $90. Also on Friday, Bill Cosby is going to be at Treasure Island. That show is going to start at 8 p.m., and tickets will range from $52 to $87.
On Friday and Saturday, Gabriel Iglesias is at the Mirage. His show is going to start at 10 p.m., and the tickets run $50 to $60.
On Saturday, INXS will be performing at the Pearl Palms. That show is going to start at 8 p.m. Those tickets will range from $35 to $80. Also on Saturday, Queens of the Stone Age will be performing at the Boulevard Pool at Cosmopolitan. That show begins at 8 p.m. Tickets will range for $40, and then you can pay up to $1,500 for VIP cabanas if that's your thing.
I'll bet you that would be an amazing experience.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Soundgarden is going to be performing on Saturday at the Joint at Hard Rock. Their show is going to start at 8 p.m., and tickets will range anywhere from $66 to $200. And finally, for Saturday, the Oasis Old School Summer Jam is at the Orleans. That show is going to start at 7:30. Tickets will range from $29 to $65. Performances will be coming from Midnight Star.
Yes, known for such songs as Operator, No Parking on the Dance Floor, and Freakazoid.
Right.
Clearly,
right.
You can see I would attend this.
Right. Tone Loc will be performing, Young MC, Atlantic Star, and many more. Check out our blog for more information on that show.
Yeah, this is a flash to my childhood, my high school years. So
yeah.
Lastly, on Sunday, Tony Bennett is at the Pearl at Palms. His show is going to start at 8 p.m., and the tickets are running $66 to $142.
I bet that show would be pretty good. Tony Bennett is a legend.
Yeah, I would imagine it's very similar to Frank Sinatra Jr. that we were talking last week. Just like a classic kind of lounge show, I think, would be really entertaining to see.
Yeah, old school crooner.
Exactly.
Play a little piano.
Agreed.
Very, very good. So that's going to wrap up Playing Vegas. Let's move on to our jackpot segment. Jackpots, of course, is where we cover any and all jackpots that have been reported via Twitter. for the week. We will create a summary for you, and then we'll keep track of the leaderboard for you.
Yeah, and apparently we lit a fire under Palm's ass, because after being tied for first place, they exploded this week.
Oh, I know. I was watching it throughout the week, and I just saw tons of them. So that's awesome. Hopefully we can get more of that.
Yeah, excited.
So kicking off jackpots for this week, on Monday, July 11th, Binion's reported a $4,000 jackpot on a $1 triple-double bonus poker machine. And, of course, Palms reported a $75,000 jackpot on a 100-play machine, a $20,000 jackpot on a triple-double bonus video poker machine, as well as a $40,000 jackpot on a pinball reels machine.
Holy shit.
Yeah, no kidding.
On Tuesday, July 12th, Palms reported a $10,000 jackpot on a double-double bonus poker machine, and Binion's reported a $2,494.34 jackpot on a penny diamond vault game.
Money to be made on penny machines, I'm telling you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So for Wednesday, July 13th, Palms reported a $50,000 jackpot on a double-double poker machine, as well as a $10,000 jackpot on a Super Aces machine. Rio reported two jackpots, one $20,000 and another $40,000 on a high-limit bonus poker machine. And wrapping up Wednesday, Stratosphere reported a $30,000 jackpot on a penny slot. We were not informed of the game, but this is the first jackpot Stratosphere has reported via Twitter since we started doing this. So that's awesome. Another property getting on board.
Yeah, hopefully they continue to share more of that information with us.
Yeah.
On Thursday, July 14th, Planet Hollywood reported a $40,000 jackpot on a Joker Poker when the player hit a royal flush. And Real reported a $20,140 jackpot on a $1 four-card Keno game.
Closing out the week for Friday, July 15th, Circus Circus reported a $13,500 jackpot on We Don't Know What the Fuck.
Yeah, I've got a fun idea here. Now, I asked them, please, if they would give us this information, and it still seems to be sporadic. They don't seem to be replying to me. So I thought, in the meantime, why don't we play a game whenever Circus Circus doesn't give us the slot machine? Why don't we guess the game?
I like it.
You like it? All right,
I
so
like it.
You want to do the first one, or shall I lead?
You know what? The double-double poker machines seem to do fairly well, so I'm going to go with that.
Oh, no. See, I think you're taking this far too literally, Brian. I want to make up games that don't exist in this galaxy that they could have possibly won at Circus Circus, so I'm going to say that the winner of this jackpot was the Bad Touch Progressive Slot Machine.
Okay.
You know, it's got the bonus game where, you know, the kid ends up screaming, you know, I need an adult, I need an adult. You know, that's the bonus game. It's a good game. You should try it.
Oh, God.
It's amusing. We got one more. Yeah, I know, really.
Circus, Circus, do not fall victim to this anymore.
Right. I have more equally twisted games in mind.
I have no doubt
so,
that you do.
So, Circus, Circus, you can stop me at any time by just reporting what game.
And finally, for the week, Paris reported a $10,000 jackpot on a 10x pay machine. So, taking a look at the leaderboard so far for the month of July, Palms, of course, bringing up the number one position with 10 reported jackpots via Twitter, totaling $287,000.
Well done, Palms. For number two, we have a tie. Planet Hollywood has reported 5 for $123,430, and Rio's reported 5 for $200,140.
And bringing up the number three position is Paris with 4 jackpots reported via Twitter, totaling $61,086.
Good week for jackpots.
Yeah, not too bad. And, you know, we kind of saw a little bit of fluctuation there in the reporting. One week we were really hot. The next week we didn't really have much for you. So
yeah, hopefully this trend continues.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I certainly hope so.
Right.
That's going to do it for jackpots. Let's move on to our Vegas deals segment. The segment part up. I was undecided, as you could probably tell.
Good.
So Vegas Deals is the portion of our show where we discuss ways you can save a few bucks in Vegas. Unfortunately, we don't have too many ways for you to do it this week, but we'll give you what we got.
I don't know if this is my fault because I was so focused on all the news that we had, or if there just weren't a lot of deals presenting themselves. But for this week, Caesars Entertainment, in some cases, is offering a better deal if you book a pet stay room. Now, sometimes the offer is just an upgraded room. Sometimes it's just the room in and of itself is a better deal. Now, there's no word if you have to have a pet to book this room, but Vegas Tripping actually has a suggestion for that problem. You can find a link to gerbil rentals in Vegas for $199 per day, and what you do with said gerbils is your business.
I don't have any comment.
As you should.
I'm just going to stay away from this altogether.
I think I'm probably going to cut it anyways. I was embarrassed by that. You know, if you seek the company of a gerbil that and are looking for a great deal in Las Vegas, we got a link for you.
Yet another valuable contribution from Vegas Tripping. Thank you so much for that.
Absolutely.
That wraps up an unfortunately meager Vegas deals segment for this week.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Hopefully we'll have some more coming up for you soon.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to coming attractions. Coming attractions, of course, is the segment of our show where we discuss events, shows, performances by bands or performers in the coming weeks and months, and we report them to you.
Yeah.
So the first performance for this week's coming attractions is Air Supply, who's going to be performing at the Orleans from Friday, September 2nd through Sunday, September 4th. That show is going to start at 8 p.m., and tickets will range from $44 to $71.50. That's how I was about to read it.
I'm going to keep that. That's awesome. Don't Stop Believin', the Journey tribute band, is performing at the House of... Hold on.
Let me redo it.
No. Are you kidding me? That's hilarious. There's no way. I was going to, for the rest of the show, if we had any kind of change, I was going to do that. It's fantastic. But to show proper respect to Don't Stop Believin', the Journey tribute band is performing at the House of Blues at Mandalay Bay August 18th. The show starts at 7:30 and tickets run $10 to $15.00.
Bill Maher is going to be performing at the Orleans on Saturday, from Saturday, September 10th through Sunday, the 11th. That show is going to start at 8, and tickets will range from $60.50 to $88.
Oh, I was hoping you were going to do it.
I'm not going to screw it up. I'm aware of it now.
Big Bad Voodoo Daddies is at the Orleans Saturday and Sunday, September 24th through the 25th. Their show is going to start at 8 p.m., and the tickets run $22 to $44.
Summer of Love featuring Tank Avant and Carl Thomas. Wow, a little... throwback, well, not really throwback, because Avant still makes music, but I haven't heard anything from Carl Thomas in a while.
Right.
They're going to be performing at the Orleans Saturday and Sunday, August 27th and 28th. That show is going to start at 8 p.m., and tickets will range from $44 to $66.
Vince Vaughn and Kevin James Comedy Road Tour is coming to Mandalay Bay Friday, July 29th. Their show is going to start at 9 p.m., and those tickets will run $110 to $135.
Steely Dan will be performing at the Pearl at Palms Thursday, October 13th. That show's going to start at 9 p.m., and tickets will range from $75 to $170.
Young Jeezy is... Sorry. Young Jeezy is at the Pearl at Palms Friday, August 6th. His show's going to start at 9 p.m., and the tickets run $39 to $103.
Wanted, a Bon Jovi tribute with Blonde Day, a Blondie tribute. They're going to be performing together at the House of Blues at Mandalay Bay on Thursday, August 4th. That show's going to start at 6:30 p.m., and tickets will be $13.
And lastly, Rock the Bells, featuring Raekwon, Ghost, and Mobb Deep, is at the House of Blues at Mandalay Bay Monday, August 22nd. Show starts at 8 p.m., and tickets are $38.
And by Ghost, is that Ghostface?
I don't know. When I first... Maybe he's changed his name or shortened it or... I don't know. That's
like he's Diddy or Puff.
Right. But that is how they had it listed as Ghost. So, I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, they do. But it's got to be Ghostface Killah, probably. I have to think.
And that's it for coming attractions.
That's it for the show, actually.
Yeah.
Episode 6, done.
That's awesome. It was a great show. Tons of awesome stuff to share. Wanted to say thanks to the many people that we've had the opportunity to meet and chat with this week on Twitter. Really appreciate all the support we're getting. We love to hear the feedback. rate us on iTunes, send us an email, let us know, you know, what you like, what you don't like, and I'll even do you one better. If you rate us on iTunes, we'll read it on the show. Even if you think we suck, we'll read it. So
I can't wait. I would love to be hated by somebody.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It'd be so much
amazing. Any kind of feedback would be great. I mean, we haven't heard too much. People seem to generally like the show, so that's a good thing. It's a good start for us. Again, we're always still trying to continue to find our stride here at the 360 Vegas headquarters.
Yeah.
So if you'd like to reach out to us, feel free to send us an email. Again, the email is 360vegaspodcast@gmail.com. The blog for all of the links to anything you heard on today's episode, as well as any of the previous episodes. Our blog is 360vegaspodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter. It's twitter.com/360vegas. Yeah, that's going to do it for this week. We hope you enjoyed it. Hope you check us out again next week for episode 7.
Yep. See you next week.